how is COVID affecting your day-to-day operations?
The life sciences sector is one of those sectors. COVID moved us into overdrive, right? From around this time last year, and for many years prior to that, there have been certain components of the life sciences sector that has been doing work into pandemic response, and in particular, innovation and technology that can be used should a pandemic arise. And of course, it did. We're a not-for-profit representing the life sciences ecosystem, which in our definition is the research community, academia, industry being digital health, med tech, biotech, and then many organizations that provide services and resources to that sector. When COVID hit last year, we very quickly mobilized and pivoted. And one of the first things we did was have a COVID-19 program that on behalf of the sector, we collected PPE from all the labs that were closing and redistributed it to the front lines. That was a huge undertaking. In addition, I personally worked with a number of companies that were looking to get into the PPE business or the ventilator business and helped advise them on how you would go about doing that. In addition to that, though, many of our member companies have been at the front end of COVID-19. I would say this sector has worked this year more than any other sector, except for, of course, frontline workers. And, you know, in British Columbia, we have a lot to be proud of. The Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine is actually based off of technology that has come out of UBC, an organization called Acuitas, that has developed that mRNA technology to deliver that vaccine. Of course, the Eli Lilly drug that has received emergency use approval as a therapeutic, that is based off of AbCellera's technology, another Vancouver-based, BC-based company. And then on the medical device side, we have both Starfish Medical and Triumph that pivoted very quickly to get into the ventilator business. On the digital health side, Thrive, another BC-based virtual health company, is behind the COVID-19 apps. So BC has over-indexed in our responses and have really led globally in supply and innovation to address this pandemic.
In your initial answer to me, you said you guys are interlinked with academia. How has that helped you get through this pandemic?
One of the things that makes the BC life sciences sector so strong is our ability to collaborate amongst all these different players. Academia plays a different role than investors, researchers, etc. And we bring the community together to collaborate and produce innovation. Clearly, I would be biased, but I don't think there is a sector that is better positioned in British Columbia right now to help lead both on the economic recovery and competitiveness of our province as we navigate our way through this pandemic, in addition to creating innovation that can help address the complex issues that we have within our healthcare system. So this is a sector that prior to COVID was one of the fastest growing sectors in the province. There are 18,000 people employed. I would suspect, this is based off of 2018 data, I would suspect we're probably closer to 20 plus. Given the explosive growth that companies like Aurinia and AbCellera and Zymeworks, Xenon, Chinook, Thrive have been doing. But I think one of the things that is really critically important to understand is that this sector didn't start working on this stuff in January. In order to create a really robust life sciences sector, it always starts with good science and research. And the reason that we are where we are is because we have been investing in science for years. AbCellera has been at this for 10 plus years. We're experiencing the benefit of research that we have funded through research institutions and academia, and it's critically important that we continue to do that. Then once that research is there and those discoveries are there, we need to bring it out of the labs. We talk about what enables a thriving life sciences sector. Well, it always starts with good science, and then we need capital, we need talent, infrastructure, so labs, data, you know, et cetera, and access to markets. And when all of those enablers are firing, more companies create economic growth and have those companies address some of the issues that we're experiencing within our healthcare system. And so we, as an organization that represents the sector, do a lot related to, you know, the discussion of the need for that continued investment in research and science, but also the need to create those enablers to have these companies be able to spin out and create the benefit for British Columbians and Canadians. Friday, we're having our second annual event, the Life Sciences BC Career Connect Day, presented by BioTalent Canada. And we're super excited to bring the community together to profile the companies, profile the breadth of career opportunities within the life sciences sector, and play that role of helping people understand what a career could look like, because it can take many different paths, like many sectors, but also try and connect current potential employers, future potential employers, and create that opportunity for companies to get in front of these amazing scientific brilliant grads that we have that are going to be looking for career opportunities.
Could you explain to our listeners more in depth what it's all about and how they could get involved if they want to?
It's an event that is actually free to students and free to Life Sciences BC members. They just need to go on our website and register. If they are registered, the platform and the conference is recorded, and it will be available to any of the registrants for 30 days. This event started really primarily with a couple of objectives. As I joined Life Sciences BC, I constantly heard about the difficulty that companies had in finding talent. I also, though, was aware of the fact that we have amazing talent within our ecosystem and within our academic institutions. The students that are studying STEM are the fastest growing field of study in our academic institutions at BC. So we have amazing emerging talent. We also have lots of talent walking around our city streets that are looking for great jobs. And so I wanted to create an opportunity to bring together companies and bring together students so that the students could learn about careers in life sciences. The other objective of this was I also met a number of PhDs, microbiologists, chemists, whose stories were very similar. They said, I went, I studied, I thought I'd be a professor, and then for whatever reason, I decided I didn't want to be a professor, either because it's so hard to get tenure, or I just decided I didn't want to do that. And I had absolutely no idea what I would do following that. And then they eventually would tell their story of how they ended up where they did. But I really wanted to demonstrate to students the breadth of careers that you could have within the life sciences sector. And currently in our academic institutions, very often if you follow a STEM path, you don't get exposed to the business side, and business students don't very often get exposed to what a career in a scientific field would be if you didn't actually have a science background. So I really wanted to bring the science community and the business and those companies together to profile the careers. Even if you don't want to go into a company, there's lots of other opportunities. You could join Chaos and go into the health economics and evaluation side. You could be a clinical trials researcher. So we really tried to bring the entire ecosystem together so that students could meet with companies and meet with those institutions and learn what it would be like to actually take on a profession within there. And we wanted to give the companies the opportunity to get in front of students early so that they could demonstrate what types of opportunities existed. So this year, interestingly enough, we are tracking at being double the size. As of this morning, we had 530 people registered for the event. People from 26 academic institutions, of course, the majority of them are from BC, but we've actually organically picked up people from Dalhousie, McGill, Western. And interestingly enough, we have people attending from Johns Hopkins, the University of Connecticut, University of California, and University of Washington. So at the event, there are, I think now, 26 either academic institutions or companies that have exhibit booths that the students can go and actually set up meetings with the people that are manning the booth. I know one company has 7 people virtually manning their booth. If they can't get a meeting that day, they can book one for later, but they can also learn about the company because virtually they're setting, most companies are setting up booths that will describe what they do and what it's like to work there. They also can meet with each other and network. We have a virtual student lounge set up that people are able to connect with each other. We have 3 sessions planned. The opening is with a fireside chat with myself and Minister Callan, our Minister of Jobs, Economic Recovery and Innovation. Then we have a session from senior HR leaders, a panel discussion talking about careers in life sciences, where they see the strengths of people that they're recruiting and where they see opportunities of where people can enhance their skills. We have a session where five life sciences leaders are going to talk about their career paths, which you can imagine are all very different. And then we wrap it up with a session on career development opportunities with BioTalent Canada talking about their programs, Admare talking about their programs, and the Dean of Medicine from UBC talking about his observations and advice he has for people coming out of academia.